Okay, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Old Stone House. Excuse me, and welcome to the Musical Ecology Series. This is a monthly series here at the Old Stone House on the second Thursday of every month, except in certain instances, it's on a different Thursday, but always a Thursday and always every month, except July and August. I invite you all to pick up a card with the season schedule on your way out, and also to check out our website, get on our email list, musicalecologies.net, you know, like our Facebook page, all that stuff. And so, we always begin with a conversation. I'm your host, Dan Joseph, and tonight we're happy to have Laura Ortman joining us. Welcome, Laura. Great. So we just like to set the stage and kind of explore what we're going to do tonight. So as I understand it, I know you guys have all worked with one another in different configurations, but this is the first time. I should say you also have two guests joining you. That's Patrick
Naker
and Michael Garofalo. So this is the first time you've all played together as a trio.
Me and Michael met back in 2004. We played in different bands at the same time. Nice. And had been friends ever since. And then me and Pat have been playing together like three years in different projects that he's initiated. And then just kind of seeing these two guys work their magic, it just seemed like a good idea is get right in the middle of it. So it seemed like this was a good venue and space to let it happen.
So we've got all kinds of gear here, and so tonight you're playing violin exclusively, or
yeah.
So that's your main instrument, obviously, but you do play other instruments, right?
And
So violin, I guess you go pretty far back with that, or when did you start playing?
However old you are in third grade?
7, 8.
7 or 8. I was a summer babe, I don't know. Maybe it was 8. So. But I grew up in a musical family. My parents were really music nerds, and brother and sister, everyone was just music nerds. And my grandma played violin, my other grandma was a music teacher, it was just always there. I had a great teacher growing up, who I would probably say is probably saved my life. Gave me music, helped me kind of express myself in ways I didn't know how to otherwise. Mm-hmm. So
your grandma who's speaking?
I had a good teacher.
Your teacher?
Yeah, okay, teacher growing up. Okay. Yeah. I was with him from like fifth grade up until like high school graduation or so.
Nice.
So he played in the St. Louis Symphony. He was a pilot. He would fly his airplane from across Illinois and fly to St. Louis for rehearsals and music lessons and stuff. But he was really, really, really great. And inspiring.
So he was just your private teacher, or was this in school? Or?
Yeah, just my private teacher. Right. I didn't play in the school orchestras and stuff because the conductors were kind of sketchy. It's like, I don't know. Band was where it was at.
like concert band or just on the side bands.
All of that.
Right. So you've been in a lot of bands. So I guess, so that's a big part of your background, as well as, I guess, classical violin, right? But also playing in bands, rock bands, experimental bands, and so on. I know a little bit about some of your bands, but I wanted to ask you when Stars Like Fleas is one group that I know you were involved in. So what? Tell me about that. I mean, I kind of missed that, but that was what 10 years, 8 years ago, 6 years ago.
How old are you in 20th grade? I see. That was like, I think the band all exploded, finally, or imploded, or 2009. That was the end of it. Yeah. But I think it's been going on for 6 years at least. I joined halfway through. Sam Avedon was a violinist with them, and then he got extremely busy, and then so they needed another violinist, and they, the cellist Tiana Kennedy recommended me, and became family ever since. So I was grateful for that. Huge group. It's probably like 8 to 12 of us for any show, and it's a lot of improv. Just a huge array of instrumentation and styles. A lot of group singing. Really beautiful moments. Really deranged end of the world. Just incredible, massive soundscapes they could make, or we could make, and toured and played many great artsy fartsy scenarios. So it was really special. And there are some of my greatest friends still and greatest collaborators. We all keep in touch pretty much.
Right, and you guys made some records too, right?
Yeah, there's a Stars Like Fleas album no one's ever heard. They're hopefully going to come out someday. There was a band right after Stars Like Fleas called Family Dynamics, and we have an album that I think is just going to sneak out into the cyber sphere, see what happens with that. It's a beautiful album. Yeah, a lot of undiscovered treasures.
Right.
I think.
Right, so that's sort of some of the sort of the more rock or outer limits kind of stuff. But I guess in reading about you, learning more about your work, I was reading about the Coast Orchestra. So that's like another end of the spectrum, I guess. So tell me about that. From what I understand, that's a classical orchestra that you founded.
Yeah.
So tell me about that, and where was that based?
Well, the Coast Orchestra came out of there's you guys know the photographer Edward Curtis. He did all the sepia tone portraits of the Native Americans. But he came out with one film, which I think was discovered in a dumpster somewhere, and it's been like refurbished, and there's a whole team just shining it up, polishing it up, came out. And then with the film release, they wanted to do some live performances with actual orchestra performing the original score. It was in, I think it was L.A., Seattle, New York, and D.C. Okay. So they contacted the Museum of American Indian and here in New York, and they're looking for a group. I caught wind of it, and I was just like, man, we got to get a Native ensemble to do the score. Like, the LA's non-Native orchestras doing out west, and which I was really surprised because that's kind of where the film was based. So. But just kind of go with it. And it's back in MySpace days, and put calls out for other musicians, Native musicians, and came out with an orchestra of like, there was like 12 of us, 13. And we got to play the score, lots of improvising too, taking our own take on the score, because it's pretty old-timey Hollywood crap. We made our own and got to play at the National Gallery Art with the film and the Margaret Mead Film Festival at the Museum of Natural History in 2008. So it's been a while. Like we're just kind of keeping our eye out for a cool badass woman Native composer to highlight and collaborate with her wherever she is. So you guys know anybody? Let me know.
So that was a kind of a mixed ensemble so you did sort of a live performance to the film? Is that the idea?
Yeah, we had a conductor. His name's Timothy Long. He's Choctaw. And super, he's a really incredible like opera conductor. So I figured he would be able to take this crazy bunch of wild Indians and put it up, just synchronize everything with the moving image and film and stuff. So it seemed like I begged him. Like, he didn't like hers at all. He wasn't going to put up with it. And then I was like, emailed him 2 or 3 times. Please, please. He's like, let's meet. I'm like, okay. And I showed up at his door. He lives over by BAM. And he just opened the door. And he's like, whoa, you are a real Indian. I like you. All right. And he's been on board ever since, so he was crucial in making the whole orchestra glue together.
So did you, I assume you did documented that in some way, or is there a recording or some kind of...
There's a book that came out, there's a DVD, and as far as like the specifically the Coast Orchestra involvement, it's been documented. Mm-hmm. I hope there's another performance down the road. Mm-hmm. I would hope so.
That's a possibility. We'll look out for that.
Yeah.
For sure. So, well, speaking of films though, so I gather recently you've been doing some film scores. I mean, there's one that I've been tracking. What was the title that you
Innards?
I can't remember now. Innards? Well, there's one that's been released. The film has been released, and the music, you've been posting the music. That was a film score.
Maybe it was Gringo Trails?
Yes, Gringo Trails.
Innards is a short horror film I did the music for. That genetically modified foods.
Right, really what was Gringo Trails? I gather that was kind of a theatrical event of some...
Yeah, it's been going around for a year, all the film festivals. It's been going all over the world. Like, I'm really shocked. Like, I see the list on their website of all the places the film has been screening. Mm-hmm. Places I don't even know where they are. but, yeah, it's a special film my friend Peggy Vale made, and her husband Melvin, and it... I think she used to be like in the whole like world traveler backpacker culture, mm-hmm. you know, I guess, or industry or way, or I don't know what it is exactly, but yeah, just kind of taking a look of like what happens to these places and spaces where suddenly it gets infiltrated by tons of tourists traveling, mm-hmm. Specifically backpacking.
Right.
In many ways, like, where do you do with all the garbage? What do you do with all the, you know, debris? Like, what do you, you know, how does it help the community? What happens to the mm-hmm. families that mm. that used to work there and kind of get pushed aside? Or, you know, it has a couple of different takes on mm-hmm, mm-hmm. on it. It goes to Bolivia, Mali, Thailand.
Places that are getting a lot of traffic from, I guess, Westerner backpackers.
Yeah, backpackers. Bhutan. There's this whole section on Bhutan. It opened my eyes a lot. It was really cool because I got to check out, you know, in detail music from all these different places all over the world mm-hmm. and see how I could kind of collaborate with, right. you know, little sparks and ideas from different kinds of music. So it was great. It was feature length. I have like over 2 hours worth of music and just at home trying new ideas. Mm-hmm. Be like, faster, slower, darker, brighter, like, whatever, let's do this. Like, it was fun. It was really great.
Right. And did you record it all on your own? Or
yeah.
You did?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Nice. I love to do my own home recordings.
Right.
I have a four-track.
A four-track?
That I really...
Like a tape? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. It's...
Thank you.
It keeps me small.
That's a great. I lived with one of those for years, and myself. But now I use the computer. But I definitely the tape is great.
I do the editing and such on the computer stuff to help kind of expedite some things.
True.
Delete.
Mm-hmm. Right, and you've also been doing some recordings. Down the street.
Yeah.
So I gather this is one of your regular places to work.
Martin BC, I'm making my third solo album with him right now. It's been going on since Halloween. He's over here on 3rd and 3rd.
Down there. Right? The Can Factory building, right.
Yeah.
He's been there for a very long time, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of a semi-legendary studio, from what I understand.
It's incredible. I had friends that recorded with him through the years, and then when I started doing solo work, I could just hear the violin in these massive, cavernous, gritty, beautiful mm-hmm. spaces. I just mm-hmm. was reading about him and just loved loved his, just liked his whole MO and wrote him like, hi, I'm his violinist. So now we're on our third album together. Hopefully within the next couple of months it'll all be completed. Mm-hmm. I can just get through you today.
We're working on it. We're getting there.
I'm excited, really excited.
Well, good. I just have a few more questions.
Sure.
We're all excited to hear the music too, but as long as, you know, such a rare chance to talk to somebody, you know, in this kind of setting. So I wanted to also ask you about, just about the record. So it seems like a lot of your stuff ends up on your Bandcamp site. Is that kind of your main sort of outlet at this point for your music?
Yeah, I mean, the last solo I did came out in a small limited edition of like 40 cassette tapes that my friend Raven made out in Albuquerque. That was like the only album bite or so,
you know,
that
physical thing.
The album, the first one got distributed by then Free 103, now known as Wave Farm.
Right.
They helped do their own release of
another record.
Tens of Thousands. That was the first album.
Nice.
So it's very small. It's very small in ways that it comes out, but that's okay. And to me, it seems like as long as I can put it out there, like online or a tape or, you know, have it play on the radio or something once in a while, it's good, because it seems like it's the greatest thing for me with these albums is to, you know, definitely being able to express these ideas that there's no other way to say it, but then like just letting it live, and then you get to have these eventual collaborations with other artists and musicians and filmmakers and writers and poets, and it's the best. It's the best. So it goes somewhere, even though it does seem it comes out in small ways.
Yeah, well, and you can do it exactly how you want.
Yeah.
You know, there's no, you know, you're calling the shots.
It's true.
You can present it any way you want.
No,
and you know, it's a great time we live in that respect, you know. Just you can just publish your music.
Yeah.
Exactly the way you want.
Yeah. I'm really, really pleased with the evolution of the way the little solo albums that I do get to happen. So.
Right. Well, I've enjoyed listening to them, definitely. And that's one of the listening to, just kind of getting an overview of all this different stuff you're doing was, you know, what inspired me to invite you here. And also, I wanted to mention that, you know, I think this is the first time, you know, this is a series we've been doing now for 3 years, and I first met you here in this series. You were part of Zach Layden's project.
Yeah, so the
Stridulitum.
Stridulitum.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I was like, Stridulitum.
Stridulitum. Yes.
That's cool.
Sort of mimicking insects, but that's another story. But the point being that, you know, through your being part of somebody else's project, which ended up here, you are, you know, representing yourself. So I think it's the first time that's happened. You know, we've only done this 3 years, so it's kind of like a, you know, significant moment in a certain sense. You know, sort of a repeating pattern or a regenerative kind of a thing or something.
Oh.
So I just realized that this week, so I thought I'd mention that.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Hats off to Zach for having me part of the string quartet.
No, it was a great evening, and it was right here. Everything was very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one other thing I wanted to ask you, it seemed like a very interesting residency down in Florida. So tell me about that. I mean, so this is the Rauschenberg Foundation, or I didn't grasp all the details, but how did that come about, and was it a principally a visual arts residency for you? I know you're also an artist.
it's the Rauschenberg residency. I was actually in the midst of getting ready to make this solo album a year ago. And then my freaking cat got all sick, and then all the money I'd kind of saved went to all her vet bills, and just got blasted away by some beer and like just tears and hardship, and so after she ended up dying, and you know, you're all heartbroken and stuff, you lose your little friend.
Mm-hmm.
a couple months later, I just get this magical email, like, congratulations, you've been secretly nominated for this Rauschenberg residency in Captiva, Florida for 5 weeks. We're going to give you some money, you know, we're going to take care of everything, you know, housing, we'll feed you, give you wet studios, like, you don't have to do anything while you're there. You can sleep on the beach for 5 weeks, RC to do that too, like, I was like, just stunned. You got the right person. You sure about this? and it was great. I chose the very first slot they had available for the new fiscal year. It was in September, mid-September to mid-October, for 5 weeks. And I lived on the beach in the Rauschenberg, where he lived for like 40 years.
Right.
Oh, it was gorgeous. Just, I've never been a big beach person, maybe because I'm from the desert, I'm like sand. But but that beach was really nice, really pretty, and by the first day I was like, whoa, that ocean, respect. And like the end of the week I was like skinny dipping, like woo, like yay! It was unreal. They gave me my own audio studio. It was a small group, probably because it was the first of the whole round. There's only 7 of us, so I got a whole audio studio to myself and a visual studio. So whenever my ears were blasted for the day or night, just go draw, go for a swim, ride my bike, drive the golf cart, eat, sleep, play music, draw. Like it was just it was amazing. I still can't believe that happened, but I'm really thankful.
That's wonderful. Congratulations. Yeah.
I took like a third of that money and just gave it straight to Martin BC as soon as I got the check. I was like, take this before something happens. So we got back and just got started off with a bang right around Halloween. So.
Excellent. Excellent. Had you done residencies before of any kind? Or
no.
Like a bolt out of the blue kind of thing.
It was kind of like, I don't know, I don't want to do residencies. I like my living room.
Right.
Unless they can bring my living room there. I'm kind of scared. I'm kind of shy. Once I got there, I was like, wow.
That's great.
This is a life.
Yeah. Well, that's a great story. So I sounds like you did some work and something definitely came out of it, I'm sure.
Yeah, I just went to town on creating the foundation for this album. I mean, there's still improv on the new album, and there's still room to experiment and be loose and let it flow. So it's been going really good. It's one of my favorite things to do probably is record and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's got amplified piano, violin, Apache violin, electric guitar, vocals, field recordings, pedal steel. I think that's it.
Mm-hmm. And you're playing everything yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Great. Does it have a title yet?
No.
Not yet.
A couple ideas, but.
I'm sure it'll come. Well, good. Well, that brings us to tonight, I guess. So, we talked a little bit about what's going to happen, but so what? I heard a little bit of the sound check, and I have a sense of something about what's going to happen. So, how do you describe this, or how do you conceptualize this kind of music? I mean, it's definitely improvisational, right?
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, is there anything? You know, is there like an idea you're coalescing around, or a kind of an influence or a feeling or anything I mean, obviously you guys have a rapport, you're friends, you know what kind of sounds you make, but beyond that, is there anything you want to say about it, about tonight?
I would say probably perhaps like kind of, I was thinking about this earlier today when I'm thinking about playing with Michael and Pat. I feel like sometimes in my whole psyche of music, I feel sometimes that I'm not doing enough, I'm not doing my part, like I'm not being clear enough in ideas that I hope to express. And I don't know if it's a guilt or just like a embarrassment sometimes, but it seems like it flows really good with me, Mike, and Pat. I don't know, she's very communal, very respectful, and we just kind of reached for the stars. So it's very, it keeps things for me very sane, but also too, it's like the sanity just has nothing to do with it either. It's just good chemistry, and mm-hmm. I think that's all we have.
Chemistry. And a lot of gadgets.
Yeah, a lot of chords.
And some guitar amps, a lot of guitar amps.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Good. Well, yeah, it looks like it's going to be exciting. And you have a whole bunch of pedals here, I guess. Well, we don't need to get into that. Okay. Well, good. Well, wonderful. Well, I think we're ready to move in that direction. So thank you for talking with me.
Thanks, you guys. Thank you.